as you look over your life, I wonder, have you come to any conclusion yet as to what is the big one? What is the big thing that God's been trying to do all along? I mean, sure, God is constantly trying to teach us stuff. That's the given. God is at work in our lives here right now, and he's trying to teach you things. Teach me something. But in the midst of all that, can you identify, yeah, but this is the big one. This is the one big thing. What is it that I need to learn today? Some of you will know that last week we sold our house, and it was all part of a long-term strategy, and who knows if that was a good strategy or not. I mean, in the past, we've made lots of decisions, and some of them have been wise and some, well, maybe not so wise. But it's been an interesting, life is an interesting journey, isn't it? And for us, like you, I'm sure, life hasn't always worked according to plan. But as I look at it, it's really interesting because I can see God's hand at work. I can see God trying to teach me stuff and speak into my life. And I've come to a conclusion. I've come to the view that step by step, God is actually trying to do one big thing in my life. He's trying to get me to trust him. To trust him 24/7. Whatever you are facing right now, you need to understand something. God is at work in your life to get you to trust him. To get me. To trust him. That's true for all of us. And what strikes me as interesting as I think about this is that was the very thing Adam and Eve did not do. In the Garden of Eden, the very thing that Adam and Eve did not do was trust God, their creator, their heavenly Father, who is good, who had blessed them, who wanted to give them so much. They chose not to trust him. It struck me the other day as I was it was a fortnight ago, sitting here in this room in a prayer meeting. And I've told you many times before how my head works, and it's kind of goes in crazy directions at times. And I keep on repeating this just to reassure you that I'm not insane. But maybe I am. Who knows? But I was sitting here in this room the other day, and I just had this random thought. And it really hit me. Because we were praying together about the property development, and it really hit me that time and time again in Scripture, God used the opportunity of when it seemed the people of God were somewhere near water to teach them how to trust him. I mean, think of the many instances through the Bible where water was involved, where the people of God were kind of either near water or on the water, and it suddenly turned into this opportunity where the people of God were given the opportunity to trust God. So what I want to do over the next couple of weeks is to invite you to jump in the water with me. In a series I want to call Faith on the Water, because I'm suggesting that we need to learn to trust God. That's the lesson we need to learn. How can we indeed walk in by faith in with God? And I want to begin this journey together by going to the Old Testament, by one of the most memorable encounters the people of God have with God by the water. Exodus 15, the Red Sea. Now, I'm going to read from Exodus 15 because it's after the event. But indeed, we know the event well. We know how for 300 years the people of God were slaves in Egypt. This one small family that went to Egypt that grew into a nation, a people that God said, these are my people. And how God sent a deliverer, Moses, to lead the people out of Egypt. And how he led them through the Red Sea, this amazing miracle. And they were liberated. And as they come through the Red Sea, we read in Exodus 15 that Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Let me read it for you. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue... Excuse me. I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You outstretched your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountains of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Don't you like poetry? Look at the picture here that is being painted for us. This triumphant declaration of who God is and what he has done. And can you imagine? I want you to come with me this morning. Don't do this at a distance as an academic exercise. I want you, and if you need to close your eyes to do this, I won't accuse you of going to sleep. But I will know if you go to sleep. But if you need to close your eyes and just put yourself in, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Israelites. You're standing on the bank of the Red Sea. You're walking through the Red Sea. And now with Moses, you're on dry ground. And you're singing this song. You would not sing that song. No, 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 no. If you were singing this song, you would sing it at the top of your voice. You would sing it with gusto and passion. You just saw this happen. I want you to grab it this morning. And in the midst of all that happening, what did God teach you? Let me suggest something, some things here. And firstly, biblical faith is relational. It is always faith in God. Faith in God Himself. You see, when it comes to understanding faith from a biblical perspective, we need to understand that we're not talking about a mechanical thing. It's not like the system of in paganism where you work out, oh, I've worked it out, how to get the spirits to bless me, and I've worked it out how to keep the spirits from killing me or causing me harm. That's not biblical faith at all. That's not the system of the Bible. It's all about knowing a person, connecting with a person, trusting a person. And that person is the Creator God who is above all things. As you read the account of Moses' life, you see the hand of God at work throughout his life. You see the hand of God present at his birth. And there comes a point where God shows himself to Moses, where Moses meets God face to face, as it were. And can I suggest to you this morning, and friends, our greatest need in life is to know God. Your greatest need this morning is to know God, to not only meet the living God, but to know who He is, to know how much He loves you and cares for you. I mean, why do you think we have the Bible, God's Word, written? Because God wants you to know Him. Why do you think God clothed himself in humanity and walked the earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God wants you to know him. Why do you think God the Holy Spirit is present here now, active in our lives? Because God wants you to know him. What strikes me as I read this song of Moses is that it's all about God. Did you notice that as we read it together? It's a song to the Lord in verse 1. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength, my defense. He's my God. I will praise him. I will exalt him. Verse 3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Verse 4, he hurled the people into the sea. Verse 6, your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Verse 7, in the greatness of your majesty, you threw down, you unleashed. Verse 8, by the blast of your nostrils. I love the imagery of that. God just breathed out through his nose and pushed the water away by the blast of your nostrils. Verse 11, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Verse 12, you outstretched your right hand. Verse 13, in your unfailing love, in your strength. Verse 17, you will bring them. Verse 18, the Lord reigns forever and ever. This is someone Moses knows. This is the one who has acted. This is the one who Moses is trusting in. It is God. When you read the word faith in the Bible, always read it as an abbreviation of a whole sentence. Faith in God. Faith in God. Yes. It is God who has done this. For Moses, it is faith in the God he knows. But notice also, biblical faith is reasonable. It is built on evidence. It involves our minds. It involves the process of thinking. You see, contrary to so much of what we hear, I would contend that biblical faith is not blind faith. It is not some step in the dark. Oh, I'm just going to just do a leap of faith. No, no, no. It involves our minds where we weigh up the evidence. Sure, we might not understand what's going on. The number of times I haven't got a clue what's going on just scares the daylights out of me. Let me say that. I have no idea what's going on in life, more often than what I do actually know what's going on in life. And sure, I might not understand the outcome and how this situation can possibly turn around. But the issue for me is this. Is God trustworthy? Is there any evidence that I can draw on, that I can weigh up, that will help me reach a conclusion concerning who God is and whether he is faithful and good? Is there evidence to that fact? See, Moses had not only encountered God, but as you read the historical account through Exodus, you quickly discover that he had seen him powerfully at work. I mean, and I want to encourage you to do this. I don't, if you're reading something in the Bible, that's fine. Do this as well if you're not reading something in the Bible at the moment. Do this. Read the first 15 chapters of Exodus. It won't take long. Read it in one sitting. You need to do the whole thing, one sitting. Do it and have a look at how God was at work in Moses' life here and how God showed himself to be powerful. And it's a great read. And like, for example, you read just prior to the coming out of Egypt of the 10 plagues in Egypt. Now, you know, I'm sure you've heard something of this, you know, how the whole country was overrun with frogs and flies, and the river was turned into blood, and the light was turned into darkness, and the firstborn of humans and animals were killed, and etc. But do you understand what was going on in there? What that was all about? You see, the Egyptians worshipped a multitude of gods. And here it is that the Creator God, it's as if God is saying, I want you to understand something, you people of God, my people. I want you to understand something, you Egyptians, that I'm God. There is no other. I am the one true God who is powerful and mighty. Not these frog gods, not these river gods, not these sun gods that the Egyptians worship. No, 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 no. It's as if God is saying to us, here's the evidence. Look for yourselves. Weigh it up. Who is really God? Who is more powerful? Do you think I can save you? Based on the evidence, will you trust me? And now here, in this moment, in the account of Israel's life, they're hemmed in by the desert and the Red Sea, with the Egyptians coming down ready to kill them. What do? Based on the evidence of all that God has done in the past, they trust him and they walk into the Red Sea. I have a friend who was the bane of my life when I was a young Christian, and he constantly contended that it was a miracle at the Red Sea. Not. Because the whole tribe of Israel walked across the Red Sea in 2 inches of water. And he constantly said, no. It was a really shallow sea, and they all walked across. And I said, you've missed it. You've really missed it. It was a miracle. The whole Egyptian army drowned in 2 inches of water. I never won the argument. But the point, I think, of Scripture, that here we have words, we have ideas, we have historical accounts, and the whole point of that is so that we can weigh up the evidence and look at how God has worked. Yes, faith in God is rational. It is not intellectual suicide. It is rational. And it is based on the evidence of God's word and God's work. God's work as recorded in the scriptures, as we're reading now. God's work in our lives. How has God worked in your life in the past? Can you look over your shoulder and say, go figure. I mean, one of our greatest dangers is we're totally blind to seeing God at work in our lives. We miss it all the time. And the encouragement is we can trust God. He is our faithful Heavenly Father and He is good. He is good. And based on the evidence of His word and works, faith is indeed reasonable. Biblical faith is also responsive. It is something we live. See, the question you and I always face is, will I trust God here now? Whatever it is that's going on in your life, my life, will I trust God here and now? I really appreciated Danielle reading from Hebrews this morning, because Hebrews, in my mind, really is, Hebrews 11, is really working on the principle that we're talking about here now. It's very interesting because we read in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then the author recounts history. You see, the author is writing to people who are experiencing persecution and are asking themselves the question, can I trust God? Can I keep going? Is it worth keeping on going? Oh, I don't know. And the author says, no, 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 you can trust God. Let me give you evidence of how God has worked in people's lives in the past. And let that be an encouragement to you to faith, to faith. Leon Morris, the Anglican Australian Bible commentator writes, faith is a present and continuing reality, a living thing, a way of life. This word confidence that we have literally means that which stands under. It's the substructure. It's the undergirding of the whole of our lives. It is our faith in God. My bottom line is I trust in God. And as I face life, that's what the encouragement of Hebrews 11 is, in the reality of life. I will trust you, God. I will step out. You see, because Moses knew God, and because he had seen how God had worked in the past, when confronted with the Red Sea, he just did it. For Moses, trusting God was how he lived. It was his confidence. I mean, it's amazing. In Exodus 14, verse 13, the people are, what are we going to do? We're going to be killed. The Egyptians, you know, you've brought us out here to kill us. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance. The Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And then, verse 21, God says to Moses, but Moses, you're going to have to actively participate here. There's some responsiveness here. This is something you need to live out. It's not just in your head. And so in verse 21, Moses does what God tells him to do and he stretches his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back. And then in verse 26, when they've all come through, he stretches out his hand again and the sea comes back and flows over the Egyptians. Moses was responsive. He had to do something. The Israelites were the same. I just love the idea of the people because I always put myself among the people because I know the struggles. I know the stuff I struggle with. I know the questions I have. I know the fear I face. I know how my emotions go here, there, and everywhere. And I figure these poor Israelites, I mean, for 300 years, all they knew was the protective care and, yes, abuse and tyranny